And I'd like to invite you to grab a copy of God's Word now and turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 15. Psalm 15, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 453. Psalm 15. We are continuing our meditation on the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. One of the fruits of the Spirit. We've been going through all the fruits of the Spirit, and we come to faithfulness today once again. And this morning we meditated primarily on God's faithfulness to us in the covenant of grace. And we also meditated on how He calls us to be faithful church members and faithful as parents to our vows on behalf of our children at their baptism. This afternoon I want to meditate a little bit more upon the fruit of faithfulness in our lives and how we are to show faithfulness to one another in our various relationships. And Psalm 15 is a wonderful picture of what it means to be a faithful person. In particular, verse 4, as you'll see, the second part of verse 4 will be our primary text, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. But we'll be reading lots of scripture passages as well to see what it means to be faithful. But for now, hear the word of God. This is his inspired, inerrant, and most holy word. So hear Psalm 15 now. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. And thus far, the reading of God's holy word, may he bless it to our hearts now this afternoon. As I said, I want to continue to meditate this afternoon on what it means to be a faithful person, to bear the fruit of faithfulness in our lives with each other as a response of thankfulness to God for his faithfulness to us in the covenant of grace. And so our theme this afternoon is faithfulness towards each other. And first, we'll see that faithfulness towards each other means being honest. And then secondly, being dependable. And then thirdly, being loyal. So first, faithfulness towards each other by being honest. One of the marks of a faithful person is that they are honest. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. You see, God cannot lie, and he abhors lying as of the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisees that they were not of the truth, but were of their father, the devil, who is the father of all lies. So you see, it's a very serious thing to lie to other people and to practice deceit. What does that look like, to lie or practice deceit? Well, if you're a student, it means that as students, if you want to be a child of God and show forth the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you'll be honest with your teachers. You will not cheat on your exams. You will not plagiarize another person's words when you write your papers. When your teacher asks you why you didn't do your homework, you don't twist the truth. You don't lie. You give them an honest and open answer. This is what it means to be honest and faithful as a student. And believe me, I know the temptations that are there. It was not that long ago that I was a student myself. And even Christians struggle with these things. But we are called to honesty as students. It also means that as an employee, you're honest with your bosses about when you clock in and clock out. You don't fudge on your time card to give you a little bit more money. Or if you were late, you don't say that you arrived on time so you don't get in trouble. You're honest and open with your bosses. And when your boss asks you, how's that project coming along that I asked you to work on? You don't say, oh, it's coming along great. And by that you mean I'm about to hurry up and get it all done because I've been dilly-dallying all day playing solitaire perhaps or spending a little bit too much time around the water cooler or the coffee pot with my coworkers. You give them an open and honest answer. Those of you who are bosses, it means you're honest with your employees about what you expect from them and what they can expect from you. If you are a spouse and your husband or wife asks you where you have been Being faithful requires that you give them an honest answer. You don't just say things like, oh, you know, I just had to get some gas. When you did a bunch of other things as well that they may not approve of or be concerned about. Or you, if you're on your phone in their presence, your smartphone, and you're not giving quality time to them, and they ask you, what are you doing? You don't say, oh, I'm just checking email, when you're really just checking Twitter or Facebook or news or whatever it is that suits your own pleasure in that little selfish moment of yours. And believe me, I'm preaching to myself. I struggle with this myself. Being a pastor, sometimes I get important emails and I need to respond to them even when I'm trying to spend time with my wife. But so often I myself give into this where she wants some quality time with her husband, and rightly so. But I'm being a jerk and selfish and checking Twitter or something else. And she'll ask me, what are you doing? And I have to tell her, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not being a very good husband. I need to be spending time with you right now. And so be open and honest with your husband or wife. If you went to the grocery store or you went shopping and they ask you, oh, what'd you get? You don't say, oh, I got, I got some fruits and vegetables and some meat, you know, the list that you gave me, when you really snuck in a few other things in there. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I did stuff like this and maybe sneak something into the grocery cart. You don't do stuff like that. If your husband or wife, and if you're a spouse and your other spouse asks you, what do you spend? You're honest with them. You're open and honest with them in your finances. Children, if your parents are out of the room and you do something to your brother or sister that makes them cry and they come back in the room and they ask you, what happened? You don't just ignore that question. You don't make up some other story. You need to be open and honest. If you took a cookie from the cookie jar when your mom wasn't looking or your dad wasn't looking and they ask you, hey, who's been eating the cookies in the cookie jar? Those were for company. And you need to be honest with them and say, it was me. I'm sorry. You need to go to them and be honest, and you need to seek forgiveness from your mom and your dad and seek forgiveness from God. Another good word here for faithfulness that's closely related to honesty is integrity. We need to be people of integrity. We need to have integrity. Integrity is to obey even when no one is looking, because God knows all and God sees all. It also means to be whole and undivided. Integrity means to be whole and undivided. It means you don't compartmentalize your life and divide it up so that, you know, with these friends, you're swearing up a storm, but then with these friends, you have a clean mouth, you know, or with these friends, your coworkers, you're getting drunk. But then when you're on your Christian friends, you won't touch alcohol. You don't live an undivided life like that. You have integrity. You're honest in every situation. You live before the face of God. You see, God calls us not to be Pharisees, who, as Jesus says, were of their father, the devil, who was the father of lies. Rather, he calls us to faithfulness in our actions towards each other by being honest and having integrity. Paul says in Ephesians 4 that you have been taught in Christ to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And so, beloved, let us in thankfulness to God for his absolute honesty with us in his word. Let us be absolutely honest with each other in our dealings with one another. This is what it means to be faithful in your life and to evidence faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit. Furthermore, let us strive to be faithful towards each other by being dependable. This is another aspect of being faithful. Proverbs 10, verse 26 says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Some of you guys have ever been barbecuing and smoke just wafts in your eyes. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Fruitful Life, helpfully comments on this. He says, though the term sluggard refers to a habitually lazy person, it is his unfaithfulness that makes him exasperating. We may be indifferent about a lazy person's habits if we do not have to rely on him. But if we are dependent upon his actions in any way, we see his slothful habits as unfaithfulness. And it's frustrating. We all know this from experience. We all know what it's like to ask somebody to help us with something, and there's no follow through there. Or if there is follow through, it's after a ton of procrastination or poor communication. You can't depend on them. And it's really frustrating. Nobody likes a sluggard when they are depending on them for something. But you see, one thing that we always have to realize is that whenever the Bible describes a sinner or a fool, it's not just speaking about everybody else out there. It's revealing our own selfishness and sin nature that we have as well dwelling within us. You and I share the same selfish sin nature as the sluggard. We don't naturally serve others and show faithfulness in the area of dependability. This is something we have to strive for by the Spirit's strength as we look to Christ and depend on God's grace. And so let me encourage you this afternoon to be dependable. Strive to be dependable. What does it mean to be dependable? It means to set aside your personal desires, your convenience, and your comfort in order to follow through on your word. The unfaithful person says this: I'll keep that commitment if it's convenient. I'll keep that commitment if it's convenient for me. But the faithful person keeps commitments even when it isn't convenient or they don't feel like it. This is why I wanted to highlight for you Psalm 15 this afternoon. The psalmist says, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? You must be holy to enter into the holy presence of God. And this is what the Lord requires of those who will sojourn in his tent on his holy hill. One of the requirements is verse 4 of the Psalm 15. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. You see, God wants you and me to be dependable even when it costs us. He wants you to be dependable even when it costs you. Even when it's inconvenient for you. What would it have meant for our salvation if Christ was only dependable when it was convenient for him? None of us would be saved. None of us would have been saved. And so he calls us to be dependable even when it costs us. For example, if you tell your friend that you're going to meet him or her for coffee, and then something better comes along, perhaps somebody you like better invites you and says, I want to treat you to the Diplomat, a steak dinner. It's all on me. Better offer. It's either that or Tim Hortons with your friend that you don't care about that much. This is better. You tell that person, I'm sorry, I would love to go out with you. Maybe we can do a different time. I have a previous commitment. But too often we're selfish and we think, why can I weasel my way out of this commitment with this other person? You know, maybe you tell them, you know, I'm trying to cut back on coffee. You know, maybe we can do something another day. Or another example, if you volunteer to help out with something at church and then something else better comes up, like an opportunity to go snowmobiling, which is much better than shoveling snow for the church, you follow through on your commitment. Even when it hurts, the psalmist says. I'm not saying you can never break a commitment. What I am saying is that you should avoid breaking commitments out of selfishness. And we all know this. And if you have a legitimate reason to break a commitment, perhaps you got really sick or something else very important came up. If it's legitimate, then you need to be honest with the other person and you need to be sensitive to how this affects them and how it affects your relationship with them. Let me say that again. If you're going to break a commitment for a legitimate reason, you need to be honest with that other person and you need to be sensitive to how this may affect them and how this affects your relationship with them. If you're going to leave them out to dry when they need help with something that they were depending on you for, then you should try to find a mutually agreeable plan B with them. Maybe it means finding a substitute for them. Going out of your way to make up the difference. Perhaps give up some of your free time elsewhere to help them. Once again, if you have a legitimate reason to break a commitment, then you need to be honest with the other person and be sensitive to how it affects them and how it affects your relationship with them. And you need to communicate with them your desire to follow through with them in the future and do so as soon as you can. You know, communication is very key when it comes to becoming a dependable person. Perhaps it's half the battle, if not more. Whether it means communicating well in person, or returning emails, or returning text messages, or returning phone calls, or whatever your preferred method of communication is. Striving to become better communicators is half or more of the battle of being a dependable person. Another thing that will go a long way in being dependable is, and it's very practical, to keep a good calendar. Some of us aren't good at that. Some of us is natural for us. We're really good at penciling things in our calendar. If you struggle with that, maybe you need to ask somebody who's good at it to either help you keep your calendar or give you tips and advice. And if you're married, share your calendar. Share your calendar with your spouse on a regular basis. So you're not, you know, scheduling something that you've already made, your husband's already made a commitment with, or vice versa. Share your calendar on a regular basis. This will help you be a more dependable person. You should feel responsible to God to follow through for people and to be dependable even in the little areas of life, including striving to show up at the time you said you're going to show up. That's part of striving for being dependable as well. And I struggle with this as myself. Showed up a little bit late on Wednesday morning this past week or a couple weeks ago for the children's study. And I had to apologize, but I'm going to strive to be there on time or early this week. You may think these are, you know, little things and I'm just being too hard and nitpicky. But Jesus says in Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in the very little is also dishonest in much. So these little things are really not that little. They're important for showing forth the fruit of faithfulness and being a dependable person. And not only does God call us to be faithful towards each other by being honest and dependable, He calls us to be loyal. Loyalty is hard to come by as well. We all know the fair weather friend. The fair weather friend is the friend who is only there for us when we are in the best of times. But when it comes to the worst of times, they abandon us. Mark Driscoll, a pastor in Seattle, has a book on marriage. And it's had some, you know, critical reviews. It's overall a pretty decent book. One of the chapters in there is probably his best. It's on friendship and marriage. It's on friendship and marriage. And it applies in marriage as well as friendship in general. And he speaks of the devotion of a good friend in one place and says, quote, a devoted friend is dependable through varying seasons of life. The Bible speaks a lot about times and seasons. Wisdom is about knowing what season someone is in and responding accordingly. This takes humility, discernment, and attentiveness. A bad friend is one who always has to be happy and have a good time, as if life were a never-ending party. Or who always has to be sad, somber, and serious, as if life were a continual funeral. A devoted friend agrees with Ecclesiastes 3, which says there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. The opposite of a devoted friend is a fake friend. Proverbs speaks a great deal about fake friends. Fake friends are what the Puritan Matthew Henry called swallow friends, who leave when winter comes. Fake friends are with us so long as they get something from us, be it the sense of worth they receive from us needing them when we are suffering, to the benefits they accrue from our seasons of blessing. A real friendship is about both people giving and taking in every season without keeping a record of what is given and taken. That's a devoted and faithful friend. Giving and taking in every season without keeping a record of what is given and taken. Are you a fair weather friend? Are you a fair weather friend? Do you only take and take and take without also giving to others in friendship? Even in the worst of times, husbands, be a faithful friend to your wife, even in the worst seasons of life. Wives, be a faithful friend in this way, even in the worst seasons of life for your husband. And all of you who aren't married, be a faithful friend to your friends, even when they are drama for you. Mark Driscoll concludes, "It is in the darkest seasons of life that God reveals to us our most devoted friends. These kinds of friends seem to rise up to the challenge of trouble, just as Proverbs 17:17 says, 'A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity.'" Someone has said that a friend is the person who walks in when everyone else walks out. How are you doing in being a loyal person to others in this way? Are you a fake friend or are you a real friend to others? You know, one of the best examples of friendship in the Bible is the friendship between David and Jonathan. Jonathan was a loyal friend to David. He made a covenant with David to be his loyal friend, and it almost cost him his life at the hands of his own father, Saul. And it eventually cost him the kingdom. He cost him the throne. But he was loyal to David as he had sworn to be. But while we speak about loyalty, we need to also note that there's also a kind of loyalty that we must avoid, that of blind loyalty. This is the kind of loyalty that loves without the truth. It's where a person refuses to admit the mistakes and faults of others, of a friend. And this is not true loyalty, because true loyalty seeks the best interests of the other person. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You see, a faithful friend is willing to confront and challenge and speak the truth in love for the good of the other person, even when it means risking the relationship. And so, beloved, in order to be a truly loyal friend and faithful in this way, you need to have the courage to lovingly, humbly, graciously, and kindly speak the truth in love to your friends and your spouses. Some of you spouses need to have a talk with your husband or wife about some of the sinful habits or things that are starting to creep in. Loyalty involves that you confront them in love, humbly and prayerfully and graciously, removing the plank from your own eye as well. And also, it means being willing to receive criticism yourself and saying, "Where have I fallen short?" Maybe that's where you should begin, is go to them first and say, "How have I fallen short of my vows to be a loyal wife or husband?" What people have called affectionately stabbing us in the front. Stabbing us in the front. If you always get defensive when someone seeks to lovingly confront you in some area of weakness in your life, you need to repent of your pride. If you are wise, you will love those who lovingly pursue you and confront you for your faults or sins or mistakes. Proverbs 9 says, "Rebuke a wise man and he will love you." Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. So what does it mean to be faithful towards others? It means being honest, dependable, and loyal, even when it hurts. Faithfulness often comes at great inconvenience and cost to oneself. And no doubt we all have fallen short of the kind of unswerving faithfulness that God calls us to. But beloved, thanks be to God for the gift of his faithful Son. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love or loyalty, but a faithful man who can find?" Beloved, the faithful man of Proverbs 20 is Jesus Christ. He's the one who was absolutely honest throughout his life, even at great cost to himself. And Christ is the one who was and is utterly dependable. He swore that he would die on behalf of his people, and he didn't go back on his word, even though it was tremendously inconvenient. And it would hurt him to the point of dying on the cross for your sins, so that you might be set free from the bondage of sin and death and might live in newness of life as a child of God. And not only is Christ absolutely honest and utterly dependable, he's unswervingly loyal to his people. The church is the bride of Christ, and he will always be loyal to his bride. And it's not a blind loyalty. He is sanctifying you and me by his word and truth. Even though sometimes it stings, he is sanctifying you in love according to his word and by his spirit. And so even though we so often fail in these ways to be faithful towards others, let us be thankful this Lord's Day for our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And let us look to Him by faith and depend on the Holy Spirit to mold us more and more into His image so that we bear the fruit of faithfulness in our lives. And in conclusion, let me encourage you with this final verse to press on in hope. 1 Corinthians 1:8, God will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for that You so loved us, that You sent forth Your only Son to live and die on our behalf. And we thank You that He has risen from the dead and that He is the Holy Faithful One of Psalm 15 who is able to enter into Your holy presence. But we thank You that through His life and death and resurrection, that we can enter into Your holy presence, even though we are sinners who fall so far short of showing faithfulness in our lives. We thank You that we're clothed in His righteousness through faith, and that we can enter into Your holy presence and dwell on Your holy hill. Help us not to take this for granted. Help us to live lives of thankfulness. Help us to be honest with each other. Help us to be dependable, and help us to be loyal with each other, because we know that as we show these things towards others, we are showing them forth towards You, because You've commanded us to do these things. So help us to live lives of gratitude as we seek to be faithful to You and each other. We pray that Your Spirit would help us in this way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.